This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to this podcast. My name is Anne. I've been a volunteer here at Joy for 17 years. Please continue to support Joy. This is our 25th year and we need community support by way of donations and memberships. Support Joy now during Radiothon 2018. Head to our website. Click Donate Now. joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Warren Jacker, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, welcome to Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic and...
And Nat Mack. Hi, everyone.
Yes, thanks for joining us, Nat. And we've got a great show coming up this evening. We've got some amazing interviews coming up. We actually spoke about this fella last week and we had him on a couple of his tracks on the show. And he's with us tonight, so we'll be chatting with him. That'll be coming up with Dreaming Now. And also, we've got an amazing artist. She does... It's actually quite hard to explain, but it's very optical illusion type of work, don't
it
you agree?
It does remind me. Some of her work reminds me of optical illusions, but I'm really excited to get her to talk about that very soon.
Yeah, it's beautiful work. You know, you're going to hear a lot of new possible collaborations coming up as well with this lady.
Amazing
work. So stay tuned, guys. And for now, we're just going to play a lovely track for you.
Urban Dreaming, this is Gal.
Idle.
And we're from Sisterhood Festival.
Support Joy This Radiothon.
Support Joy This Radiothon.
Yes, that song just then, that was Kiradara with the song Nara.
Which is the rain song.
Yes.
Beautiful rain song.
Beautiful song. And those girls, actually, we had the opportunity to actually interview them a couple of months back. And we're really, really hoping to get them all back. So there's just the actual producer of the music at the time. And
yeah.
Now we're looking at trying to get the whole team in. So that'd be pretty cool.
Their voices are so magical. I hope we get them in here soon.
Yeah, that's we'll make sure that happens, if anything. But speaking of things that actually are happening, as NAIDOC Week is coming up.
Yes.
And it's going to be a full 2 weeks of exciting events and festivities. So we've got the official flag raising, of course. You must make sure that's definitely something we must try to attend to.
So the flag raising is on the 2nd of July at 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Federation Square. So make sure you get down to that. And on the 6th of July, there's, of course, the NAIDOC March. So that starts at 10:30 in the morning, and everyone's meeting at the Aboriginal Health Service in Fitzroy. And then we'll be marching to Federation Square. So that is on the 6th of July.
There's also the NAIDOC Week in Leeton. So Leeton Shire Council official flag-raising ceremony from 10 a.m. And that's on the 4th of July. Following the ceremony, there'll be a morning light tea inside the council chambers, and all the members of the community are invited to attend. And then we've got the NAIDOC Ball. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so NAIDOC Ball, that's going to be really, really exciting. That's held at Crown Casino this year at South Bank on the 7th of July from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. I'm sure that there is a hashtag for this somewhere on Instagram. I don't know it, but please hashtag all your NAIDOC Ball 2018 photos. I want to see how deadly you all look.
And maybe our guests will be actually performing at the NAIDOC Ball. Who's to say? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of deadly things happening. One thing I'm actually really, really looking forward to quickly is Blackie Blackie Brown, the traditional owner of death at Cooper's Malthouse. So that's at Malthouse Theatre on the 5th of July. That play is by Nakia Louie. So another really, really exciting one to look forward to NAIDOC.
It's looking great. Actually, the poster looks awesome too.
Nice.
All right, guys, so we're about to introduce an amazing artist. So this fellow we actually played last week, and he's been killing it in the industry, and he's just up and rising. And I've seen this fellow develop over the last couple of years, and just seeing his growth has been quite beautiful to watch. And I think this is definitely a guy to watch out for. So it's streaming now. He's a Yorta independent artist who has built a loyal following on the underground of NAM, that's here in Melbourne, since the first stepping on the stages in 2015. Yes, Dreaming Now brings a striking interdisciplinary approach as an MC, instrumentalist, poet, keeper of song, and a cultural performer. Known for his dynamic experimental beats, driven genre, pushing sounds fusion of indigenous singing, hip hop, parodium, challenging, decolonizing poetry,
yes,
soul, and oft ambient electronic textures. Dreaming Now has shared stages with many greats, including Sampa the Great,
woo,
Master Ace, Remy, and experimental project Taz with Joelistix. Only a few names there.
Just a few.
So let's play one of his tracks right now. You're going to love this. We played last week, and it's definitely something to think about. Here we go.
Thank you.
Joy. Australia does not exist. Australia does not exist. Australia does not exist. Oh, oh, oh.
1788, came upon this land, washed into the bay, stepped upon sacred sands, didn't recognize there was governance at hand, laws and conditions not based upon demands, tribes, clans and families in line with sacred chants, song lines, stories, blessing woman, child and man, stars, constellations, formulating plans, bountiful plains of medicinal plants, spells beyond the physical, beating our dance, none of this dreaming, unfolded by chance, but they didn't see this majesty right before their eyes, labeled us as savages and plotted our demise, took our star formations to represent their plot, not realizing natural essence brought in through those knots, busy painting laws to sidestep our rights, deny our very ways to be brought out of sight, out of mind, spotted laws this landscape never defined in the previous 60,000 plus years of time, that said, Australia still a scene of crime, when they push aside the manners and it's blinded in the blind.
Australia does not exist.
What they be selling is men.
Australia does not exist.
But they keep on trying to tell them.
Australia does not exist.
Yo, it's straight up illegitimate.
Australia does not exist.
Yeah, it's all lies, all of it.
First we'll take that land, take it for our own. You take a stand, we'll kneel before the throne, kneel before the crown, hands on the ground, then we'll take all the kids, hush, don't make a sound, nothing but savages, we'll show them how they're supposed to live, and if they don't assimilate, I guess we'll have to demonstrate our superiority in every single way, and remind them how we've conquered them every single day, and what better way to do this than to give this land a name, Australia, yeah, the great land that was claimed, man, it ain't gonna work. Watch us grow like flowers if we come from the dirt. The earth runs deep. Our peep came just to reframe the pictures of the past so my people know where we came from. We've been here all along. See, Australia don't exist, just another damn myth.
Australia does not exist.
What
no,
they
no,
be
no.
selling is myth.
Australia does not exist.
But
no,
they
no,
keep
no.
on trying to tell them.
Australia does not exist.
Yeah, it's all lies,
nah,
all
nah,
of it.
Nah, nah, nah.
They try to make it seem Australia does not exist. Just a spray painting pictures to try painting you picture to evade the true identity of this land. It is built on legislations and false formations without true jurisdiction propagated through mass manipulation of populations and resources. Genocidal policy enforces. Born in blood of our ancestors, massacres. But still sacred spirit here. Breathe in the air, true essence delivered from our mother's womb and hands. This always was, and always will be a land of countless indigenous nations, none of which are called Australia.
Joy!
Yes, that was Australia Does Not Exist from Dreamin' Now. And right now in the studio we have
Dreamin'
the man
now.
Himself.
Neil Morris,
good
welcome.
Evening. Thank you.
It's so great to have you in the studio. So,
I was just saying how interesting it is, eh? Like the idea of hearing that song, and then I've just been listening to it, but no, not necessarily playing it, just been playing in my head over and over and over. And just knowing back in regards to the musicians who were involved, it was Neil Morris featuring Philly. We had Adrian Eagle with those beautiful lyrics.
Vocals, yeah,
amazing,
vocals,
amazing.
Yes.
And Brett Watkins on the Yidaki, which is the didgeridoo.
And, Deadliest
yeah.
crew.
It's awesome.
How'd you pull this off? How'd you get all this deadly mob together?
That's a good question. I guess one thing that I've learned I suppose, in my time as an artist, particularly the last 4 years, where I've been consciously pursuing my art and trying to get some beautiful stuff out there to people. One of the biggest things I've learned is that if you treat people well, you will find yourself to be surrounded by good quality people.
Yes.
And I'm fortunate to say that every single person on that track is not only extremely talented as an artist, but all just, A-caliber human beings as well.
Absolutely.
And, that's important for me with my art, is definitely always when I'm creating, I need to feel that those people have a real high integrity about how they approach their work, mm-hmm. but how they just approach their human existence,
mm-hmm.
here in this beautiful land that we live upon, in Kulin Nations land. And in saying that, I do pay acknowledgement to Kulin Nations land, where the show is broadcast from this evening.
Yes, on the Kulin Nations. We are actually, just honoured to see as many as artists as possible. That's specifically why we do the show, because we try to create another platform again to actually get UMOB acknowledged and to showcase your work to the world. What a better way to begin our show, really, with some awesome lyrics. And if anything, I've known this fella for a while now, and just seeing, like I said, his growth has been just amazing to watch. And it's funny, isn't it, how you get to a certain stage, isn't it, Neil, when you you feel like, because we had this conversation just the other week as well with one of our other friends, specifically speaking about performing artists and how it's such a struggle to be able to work in this industry. As much as you're passionate, as much as you love what you do, it's terrible in regards to funding. We're not being funded enough, and you see such amazing performance theatre and music, and the list goes on.
When you see musicians collaborating like this as well, you know that any funding that does come through, it's going to the right places, it's going to the right people. Anything that comes from your music, and it's not just, it's going to lift up a bunch of brothers and sisters there, not just yourself. And that's one thing I've noticed about the way we work as a community and the way we work as artists, especially the way you're doing things, Balaneel, here. You're bringing people together, which is incredible. And that's what I love so much. Speaking of bringing people together, one thing I was really excited about for me recently was your performance with Sampa. Sampa the Great. Tell me about this.
Sampa is an incredible human and artist. And it's just amazing the connections you can form in a city like this, that there is such intent at the moment for people to create meaningful art that is not only incredible art but has ripple effects into community.
Mm.
And there's a collective of so many artists, I guess, particularly not only First Nations but a lot of people of colour, realizing and finding our voices and feeling like we can have a big impact, not only in just making quality art, but in community transformation.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what the reason was for the stars to align for Sampra and I to connect, but I definitely resonate with what she's about as a person, which is about bringing medicine to people.
Yes.
With her art. And I guess that's what I'd like to hope that I can bring to people as well.
Absolutely.
With my art. So to connect with her and an artist who has that value in their work, it was definitely pretty special. And she's without a doubt one of the artists that I really feel a special connection to for those particular reasons in this country and just globally.
Absolutely.
She's one of the artists that come to mind for me for providing just such a incredible, beautiful energy that's so relevant to the now and where the world is at and what kind of issues it's ready to take on and be influenced by.
Yeah, I didn't even actually get to attend this show. I'm kicking myself. I wish I got there. But it looked magical. I mean, all the photos, all the videos that I saw of it just looks so incredible. So, I mean, wow. You have really shared the stage with some incredible artists and yourself. You're definitely making such a big name for yourself at the moment. Hearing you all over Triple J, all over the radios. I'm so excited for you.
It's so good to hear. And how's it feel for you, like, personally, and from the very first developments of these tracks to where you're going with it now?
Yeah, how it feels for me, I guess, is my art is much more than about myself. Ultimately, it's about getting messages out there and getting perspectives out there that maybe haven't been endorsed a lot in the past or been received particularly well. So a lot of these, I guess like these first couple of tracks, they've been a long time coming, even though they've been done in the last under, 12 months. You know, it's been information that
for a while.
Since I've been an adult.
Yeah.
So to feel like the world is now ready for stuff that, you know, a number of years ago it was like this stuff would have just not been acceptable on a lot of people's radars.
That's right.
It's pretty special. And so what's even more exciting than my tracks getting attention is what are the other tracks that are going to then get attention that come after this. To me, that's really exciting to feel that some sort of door is opening, and I'm just very blessed that I've been somehow involved in some kind of way creating music that is amongst all of this happening that's occurring right now.
Do you definitely feel like the doors are opening for Indigenous artists in Australia?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
I feel that it's somewhat ajar. I don't feel that it's open. It's open to a certain amount is how I feel. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem like people are fully ready for the door to be all the way open.
I would agree with
you. I feel that it's a bit frightening for some people to open that door because we have a lot of power behind us as a people.
Yes.
And every single one of us is talented and spectacular and incredible.
Yes.
And so if they let all the black fellas in, I don't know what's going to happen for people. Yeah. It's all over then.
One big talented mob, yeah.
There's so much talent. So, again, like, just, you know, the fact that it's opening a little bit, like, it's deadly. But I want to see all the mob out there creating art, you know, get opportunities to be heard because there's countless young Indigenous artists out there, you know, in my particular medium, which is music, that are creating content. They're putting it up on places like Triple J Unearthed and trying to get it out there. And if you go and check out, you know, all the young artists that are putting stuff out there, it's still a really low percentage that are, A, getting play on radio or B, getting gigs.
That's right.
Even in their own localities, there's still not that broader recognition.
That's
so
right, yeah.
The door is open, but only just a little. So hopefully, you know, it is with, you know, tracks, you know, like whether it's Australia Does Not Exist or January 26th to come out from AB Original last year, you know, it's just slowly softening that door's
that's the other
structure.
Thing. Do you feel like people like, you know, Briggs and Philly and the AB Original crew have, you know, opened up doorways and set pathways for other Indigenous rappers and poets like yourself?
Because your work is political, you know, to a degree. And if anything, you know, then I'm sure you have a lot of people who do question, you know, in regards to what you're pronouncing. But then there's a thing of, I guess what we believe is also an educational way of expressing knowledge and letting people understand, really, the fundamentals. So, yeah, is
absolutely
that sort of your approach as well?
Yeah, definitely educational. I don't feel that, like, I came to wanting to do this stuff to be, like, first and foremost, I want to provide an educational toolkit
to
people.
You were going to say educational.
Yeah, it's
been too close to you. More so, like, there's a lot of healing for our people to do. And I believe one of the key things to that is our voice needs to be expressed. What we feel is true upon what our sacred lands. Like, if we have things inside of us that feel true to us, it's important, I believe, to express that and not water that down.
Yes.
And it's not that you're trying to challenge anybody else's ideas necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's first and foremost that, hey, like, we've been here for 60 to 80,000 plus years living a very particular way that we know has proved to be successful and sustainable time and time again. So it's like, you know, for me, I'm denying truth to not speak about how amazing and how accurate, you know, that way of living is that our people have had for a long time. So to use art to just channel that out, I feel it's, you know, an incredibly powerful healing tool for our people.
Yes.
And the byproduct is that we can potentially shift how things are going in this country, because as we know, you know, we're in pretty dire circumstances in a lot of ways when you look at the natural environment and how devastated it is and all the other social and political factors that are going on in this land that certainly 230 years ago we didn't have this level of mayhem here. And I guess people can take their own conclusions to why that is.
Absolutely. That's a really, really important point. Using your music and the youth being able to, I guess, not just the youth but everybody being able to look at your music and other Indigenous hip-hop artists in Australia as a tool for healing, as a way to speak their truths, and that's such an important thing to do. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's so exciting.
So, yes, you're on Urban Dreaming. We're here till 9 p.m. and we just got to play another track. We've got live in this studio. This is Neil Morris from Dreaming Now. What's this track called?
This track is called Indigenous Land.
And this is going to stick to your head, I swear.
Yes.
Check it out.
Joy.
Everywhere we walk upon in this world, one Indigenous group or another has once lived there before for thousands and thousands of years. One of the most intricate and respectful ways to inhabit that place. We need to remember that. You're on Indigenous land, original clans. Since beginning of man, countless years out on this land. Living so grand, aligned to command. Intrinsic alarm, never disband. 60,000 plus. Following law before this sight of hand. Through the seasons and sacred plants. Injurious storms for many lives spent. From the desert down to the clay pen. Tropics and mountaintops, functional ocean. Sanctified beaches, no equivalent. Swept with the tide, deeply advanced. Warriors pose so poised in a stance. Out of wisdom, truth never by chance. Sorcerers, elixirs, and transcendence. Standing in love across every expanse. Message to blind, it's in the hands. Reflex from beauty from all that expands. Infused with the magic, majestic and grand. Murder your mind, thought of cool land. No more body, call it the band. Koko, yalanji, where is it you standing, man? Whose land you standing on? Know the history, know the facts. It's Indigenous land that you are on. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Lest we forget the frontier wars and the genocide blueprint that does live on. That's in custody, it sees no more prolific than ever forced by big ghosts. Still they gallivant and they brought bust. Children again and again stolen. In the blink of an eye, they get with us and then they are gone. We still amidst all these storms, 230 years gone. Village in score, culture ignore. Fictions in city, it's a dawn. All of our sacredness shaken and sworn. All the while on indigenous land, we are living out our lives upon. Does your mind realize the song? As it posts in subliminal dawn. From ancestors on the rise on. They do not belong. A perpetual cycle of wounds. It's been glorious. We will time bomb. But yeah, all of our kingdoms still here, still live on. We still countless original, limitless indigenous nations. It's no broken chain of law. Ancestors sing along. They given us more. Adversity, they given us more. From the desert to the shore. They delivering law. They singing the law. For forevermore. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be.
Hey you mob, this is Davey and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
Hey, this is Rami on the mic.
And Nat Mac.
And that track we just played then, that was a deadly track, an awesome beat at that, and that was the Indigenous Land, and that's Dreaming Now. Oh. And we've got Dreaming Now in the studio with us, that's Neil Morris. Neil Morris, that song just then, that was, it's crazy, like I said, these are beats that you're playing, you're rapping, you're doing whatever you do generally with your work, it's so catchy. And I've noticed I've been literally like, hearing it in my head and feeling it in my heart every day for the last week and a half since I've been listening to it. That effect that you've got, like naturally you have, but I guess with your process of how you write your work, I've noticed you do a lot of your writing on your phone, yeah? Is that how you begin?
In this day and age, I do.
Yep, and then from there, with the tracks, though, the sound, how do you create the sound as such, and what comes to your mind? And I guess, yeah, tell us a bit more about that process.
In terms of the sound, well, in the last couple of tracks that I've released, it's been a bit of a more collaborative experience than what you might or some of people who have been following my work for the past few years might know of from my work. So previous to doing this hip-hop music recently, I was doing everything myself. But with these last couple of tracks, I did collaborate with a couple other brothers. So there was co-production from an amazing ally by the name of Pataphysics, who's got some incredible work out there. He yes. co-produced other music. We did all that as quite a joint process for Australia Does Not Exist. But with Indigenous Land, I was very fortunate to meet an Indigenous brother who's been doing some deadly stuff in a group by the name of Willow Beats for a number of years now, who've just got some of the most tasteful music
beautiful music
ever been created in this country. But Narayan, the producer from Willow Beats, also has a lot of interest in hip-hop and particularly trappy type of hip-hop. And it just so happened, you know, we're going over some music that he created, and I was like, I would like to set myself a challenge to write over a trap beat. It wasn't particularly something that I'd strategically chosen to do. It just so happened that the beat called me to write something on it. I felt like it was a really amazing challenge, and in the end, it was the right fit for that particular track to go down that path and do that particular sound. So that was an interesting in terms of like process and how I made the choice with that process. It was quite a, you know, elaborate one, and almost by chance, but I don't believe anything is by chance.
Yeah.
There were no doubt reasons for the track to be that way. So for me, it's really a matter of feel, you know, what feels right at the time. I don't believe we should box ourselves in as artists, and particularly as Indigenous people. There's no saying you should have to do things in a particular formula just because you've done it in another particular formula before.
Mm.
Consistency is important, but in terms of music creation or art creation, you've got to go with what feels the most appropriate to do at that moment in time.
I completely feel you there. I feel you because there's one thing about that track. It just felt like it was meant to be. The words, the lyrics, it just all matched, it all melded, it just, it was definitely meant to be, that track.
Thank you so much for joining us, Neil, and any last words for any listeners out there who want to actually get into music?
I just say, you know, if you're interested in it, if you feel a bit, you know, a bit shame about it or whatever reason, just spend some time to be like, okay, I'm going to just give it a try. And you can always still behind closed doors for many, many years. I'm a testament to that.
Hey, there you go. You had it here first, everyone.
Like a lot of us, you know, we have the talent there. There's no rush to get out there and be performing on big stages. When you're ready, there'll be a stage waiting for you, and you'll be nurtured and supported, and you'll be doing some real deadly stuff. And that's, you know, something we can all achieve. So I say just get out there, pursue what you feel are your dreams as a young Indigenous mob or any mob out there. You know, just believe that you can achieve.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. You heard it here first, everyone. Believe, achieve, you can do it. Break those doors down.
Yes, one deadly brother and many more tracks to come, I'm sure. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Neil.
Namani, you mob. This is Jacob Bowen. You're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9.
Now, we've got our next guest. Our next guest is a beautiful artist. Her name is Glenn Sutterdy. She's originally from Australia.
Glenda Sutterdy.
Glenda, yep, Sutterdy. Sutardi. Oh, we just got corrected.
Ooh, thank you. Probably should
my bad. Because that's actually Indonesian, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
There you go.
Oh,
I should know that.
Beautiful.
Well, I should, but I don't at the moment because I am part Indo.
There you go.
This is where I'm learning from this family, so check it out. Originally from Australia, she is currently living in Bandung. Is that correct?
Bandung. No, I'm actually living in Japan now.
Oh, Japan.
Wow.
And basically, she's an artist who explores the notion of spiritual existence through the natural world of time and memory. She discovers a parallel divine energy interconnecting everything. Glenda translates her vision through the meditative application of an eclectic mix of polymers, oils, and natural Nihonga minerals to produce the sublime textures and layers evident within her paintings. The huge visionary works that she calls meditative icons do indeed have the effect of drawing the viewer into an alternative yet ever-present reality, and to join us into her vision and her interconnected multiverse. Wow, I've never heard that word before.
Multiverse.
The multiverse. Yeah,
it just means that there's multiple realities.
Hmm, beautiful. Well, I think your work really explains itself, doesn't it, beyond any words, because you look at the work and it's just, it's so mesmerizing. And we actually got to see some of your work on your website. And it's like I mentioned from earlier in the show, it's very, you can see the essence of traditional elements through it, but also this this new wave of optical illusion effects. And the polymers, et cetera, the materials and I guess the medium that you use, is it mixed or do you do one sort of?
I use multiple mediums. Mm. In those big star fields, they're actually, from when I was a little kid, I used to stand outside and look at the stars for hours and hours and hours, or as long as I was allowed to, and I still do, and I used to dream. I just used to wonder what was out there. And then all us kids would go to bed at night and we'd talk about it and say, well, what if there's a wall and what's on the other side of it? And, you know, so we've always wondered about all of that sort of stuff.
That's magical. I mean, just looking at your images and, sorry, can you repeat? You call it the star.
They're star fields, those big
ones. The really big ones. So, I mean, if anyone gets the opportunity to have a look at her beautiful, beautiful artwork, and we'll definitely put a link out to her website shortly, but there's this blue, deep blue going through it, so you can really get that feel of the multiverse or the other skies, and then these tight little interconnecting white lines in one of these pictures. And so I guess I was trying to figure, for me, it did look like some kind of netting or something out in the sky, and now that you've said that, it really, really, it does make sense, but it's so beautiful. It's really magical.
It almost is a net.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because with quantum physics and all that sort of stuff that's happening now, they often have pictures of grids.
Yes.
So those particular star fields, they're my reaction to what's happening in my life at the moment. But when I make them, I basically just, I don't go into a trance or anything silly like that. I just dream. They're meditative and I just make them.
Do you dream these images up? And, like, do you go to bed, dream them up and then paint them the next day? Or do you sit there and in sort of like a dream feeling, you're outside dreaming while you're painting?
It happens when I'm painting.
Wow.
So at the moment I'm working on, because I'm living in Japan, mm-hmm. there's another series that I've started with natural micas and glass and all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
And they're big grids. They're actually, some of them are huge.
How big are we talking?
The grids, the biggest that they can be, are 2 meters.
Wow.
But that's really hard to get a straight line.
That's
that
enormous.
Long because the line is done in one great big pool. So that's pretty hard.
And what technique do you use for that?
For the star fields, I will use, I will start off with calcium carbonate.
Mm-hmm.
I get that calcium carbonate from Indonesia because it's the purest. And it's sort of got a little bit of, I don't know, it's got a bit of body in it, more so than the calcite that I can get in Australia. So I'll use that and then I'll mix that with the polymers and make quite a textured base. Mm. And then I'll draw the stars and I'll always start with a cross in the middle, depending on what's happening. And then I just move out from there and the whole thing just starts to flow. And then I paint around them.
Oh, wow.
So it's very physical. I lay on them.
Yeah.
It's the only way that you can get to do them.
Wow. So there's actually a physical element to the artwork that you have to do.
They're very physical. I don't know how much longer I can do them for, actually. You know?
With the crucifixes or the crosses, can you let us know more about that? I noticed the one piece that you have is the twin stars.
Yeah. The cross is, they represent stars or moments in time.
Okay.
So in that particular image that you're looking at there, I've simply isolated two of them.
So it's actually just, drawn in regards to that's actually one small caption or a small part of that one big picture.
Part of the star field.
Yeah, wow.
And somehow those star fields then developed into grids.
Yeah, like I guess that was something that you sort of discovered as you went, or was it purposefully done?
I just discovered it as I went. It's like Neil, you know. I loved what he said about how he just starts the process and then things grow out of that process.
Mm.
You know, I don't actually go into something thinking that, oh, I'm going to create this or that. It just happens while I'm doing it. But then I'm also an art teacher, so I've had years of training and I've got a formal education.
That's brilliant. And where have you most recently done your teaching?
I'm working in Japan at the moment.
Yeah, you're living there, working there. Geez, you're doing lots of Japan.
Yeah. That's another planet altogether to Indonesia.
What's it like working in Japan?
It's an interesting place. When you get Japanese friends, they're great. They're great. And, you know, when you get that the cultural crossover between Japanese people and any other culture, the mix that comes out is always fantastic.
I have to agree with you there. My first high school boyfriend was actually half Japanese, half Korean. So, yeah great food all through high school. Can't complain.
The food's amazing. Everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Everything's clean.
Yeah.
You can't do anything wrong.
So they'll be good flatmates.
Yeah. You've got to take your shoes off. You've got to be tidy all the time.
Wow. But as an artist, do you find that you're recognised or there's people that are wanting to know about your art in Japan?
Yeah. I've started to do quite well. I've sold a couple already.
That's fantastic.
I've had an exhibition, been part of one exhibition. I've got a big thing for BMW coming up.
Yes, you mentioned that earlier. Yeah. So what's happening with BMW in Japan?
I'm going out into the desert and then down to Mallacoota and then up to Darwin to paint. So I'll do three large star fields that I'll finish and take with me. Then I'll pick up a couple of paintings in Jakarta and take them back to Japan.
Mm.
I don't know how they'll go. Simply because most of the artwork that sells in Japan is quite small.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two other series that I'm working on over there at the moment also that are a response to the Japanese way of doing things.
Yeah, wow.
You know.
That's really interesting. So you're working on quite a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
Really big project for BMW Japan.
Huge projects.
Fantastic. That's just incredible.
So how do you feel you're going to... In regards to this big project, what would you like to do? Or how would you like to bring your work across to them?
It's really interesting, you know. People that look at my paintings, in the BMW project, at first, there'll only be one painting. So, and it'll be big. So it'll probably go up against one of the windows. I'm not sure the venue yet, but I know it's huge. So I can kick out a huge painting for that. People that see the star fields or that go into a room where there's a lot of them, it's quite an interesting effect. They do fall in love with the paintings.
Yeah.
Most of the star fields are gone because people have taken them away. And I love it when somebody takes one of them home. I don't know.
Do you think that perhaps, I mean, this is just something that came to my mind, but because, you know, you're looking at a completely different part of the sky in Japan than you are in Australia, I mean, we do have some of the very similar stars and things in the sky that we can see astrologically, but perhaps being able to see your vision, your stars on, you know, our country, on this part of country, is just a different vision for them. They're seeing the sky differently.
That's right. And that's why I'm doing the star fields here.
That's incredible.
I can't do them in Japan.
Of course.
It just won't happen.
And I guess the conditions would be very different to looking at
stargazing. Stars.
Yeah. Wow.
I know that you can see some stars, but I've just had two cataract operations, and I almost couldn't see anything. So I haven't really looked at the sky in Japan. It's summer there now.
That's interesting.
Well, it's hard enough seeing stars here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in a big city.
You know, you think of the city, the lights that actually, you know, block half of them out, and then you've got the smoke as well.
That's it.
You know, I know when I go out bush, I can see stars so bright and clear.
Which is why you go bush.
Yeah.
See, now.
So maybe this is an opportunity for you to go country.
Totally.
And, you know, and then take it back more, so this might inspire you more.
That's right. And in Central Australia, I'm going to connect with some ladies, some painters. So I'm really excited about that because they said to a friend of mine, somebody's coming. And she said, I know who's coming.
Oh, deadly.
Yeah, I'm really excited
that's
about
special.
That.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. All right, guys, so we're speaking to Glenda Sotardi.
Sotardi.
Yes, and she's an artist from Australia who's currently living in Japan and got a huge exhibition coming up for the BMW.
Namani Yumab, this is Jacob Boehm. You're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9. Nakanya.
Yes, you are on Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
And not Matt.
Yes, and we're here sitting down talking to Glenda Sotardi. I hopefully I get that
Sotardi.
Right. Sotardi. But before we do, I just want to acknowledge also some amazing performers and radio broadcasters who actually Aboriginal Voices live on the prison radio. Yes, it's called the Beyond the Bars. And they've got a CD which is actually given to us, and I'd love to play one of their tracks. And basically what it is, it's a Beyond the Bars. It features stories, songs, opinions and poems from over 100 men and women in the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre, the Bowen Prison, the Fulham Correctional Centre, the Manganeet Correctional Centre, Middleton Prison and Port Phillip Prison. The All Black Radio Broadcast team presents the broadcasts and workshops in the lead up to NAIDOC Week. So let's play one of the tracks right now, and here it is for you, and this is Bail Fails.
Yeah, like, I'm only young and, like, I still turn to, like, you know, elders, older women than me, and ask them, like, not just my mum, like, other women in here. It's kind of hard. Like, I was out on a CCO not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I end up begging my support workers for help. I didn't want to come back to jail. They're like, Colleen, what do you want us to do, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yep. And that's not, I wasn't looking for that.
So you actually reached out and were just asking for help and you didn't get any
and
of that.
They just kept pushing me off to Aboriginal support workers, but when I did go, I didn't know how to go about it, like, shame, as you fellas can see, like, I didn't know what questions to ask, I don't know how to explain myself properly, and I come across not just young fellas are like that, like, a lot of women are like that.
And it's a big thing as to why, you know, the magistrate asks us or the judge asks us, why should we let you out? Why are you offending? And it's because of these simple things are happening time and time again, like, nothing in the system is actually working.
Mm-hmm.
When they're asking, as my sister just said before, you know, like, what's happening? This is what's happening, is we're not getting the help. Like, we're getting released into the community, and instead of, like, going from one institution to another so we can, like, you know, keep ourselves straight and things, we've got that relapse time. Like, we've got a week until we have our first appointment to go to corrections or to a health
facility.
That's what it is.
Exactly.
You know, we have that free time.
Yep.
You know,
but before you meet with your parole officer, you can linger for a whole week.
That's right.
Yep.
It's called free time. You know, like, because it's time, like, you meet up with your mates again, you know, how you doing? You know, you get a phone, that's it, text and Facebook, you know, you're doing it all over again. And that's when they're making connection, you know, it's like, oh yeah, where you are, you know, and they're coming and bringing whatever, you know, that's it. When they come to see me, like, when I've been in the cells, the bail justice, they'll come in and they'll say to me, and the custody officers will say, okay, Parfa, you're up to go and see the bail justice. I don't want to go and see him. I say, no, I won't worry about it, you know. Sure enough, here comes a truck, I'm going to Dame Phyllis, because there's nothing you can say to defend your case, because there's nothing there that was helping you, you know. Like, what have you got to say to them? Like, they say, what's changed? Nothing's changed.
And it is hard to explain to the magistrate and explain to lawyers and all them sort of people. There's so many different layers and complexities of everyone's story, because everyone's an individual at the end of the day.
You know, if I said to my, hypothetically, oh, hello, Mr. Bail Officer, Bail Justice, hey, can I, I'm really sick today, I can't get out of bed.
They don't want to know about that. That's not important. That's not important, whether you're sick or not. You know,
wow.
They don't care.
So I would be back if I couldn't
make
my appointment.
Exactly.
There's no excuses
for my health, my
physical or my mental health is not taken into consideration.
At that time, no, it's not.
I'm shocked.
All you're wanting to do at that time is try and get yourself bail. Mm-hmm.
How are you meant to get well and get your life back on track and get bail?
Yeah. That's it.
And this is where we've found a lot of girls take a responsibility today for how they end up back in here. And you
take
drugs and you say domestic violence. Back is 90% that most of us inherent racism that puts you back here, not drug issues.
That's it, sis.
Or it's just, you know, like, when you're in the cells, it's bail refused, and they'll have you on remand until whenever, and that's when you get your chance to actually give the bail justice, you know, your case to hear what's wrong. It's too late. It's been so many months or so many weeks to hold you in here. You've got no chance.
Yeah, so that was actually these guys now, Aboriginal Voices Live on Prison Radio. And I think we're going to try to play them, you know, at least give them a segment through our show throughout
Absolutely.
The weeks to come. Really interesting work, actually, and so good to hear them, Mob.
Great to hear their voices on radio,
yeah,
on air.
Yeah, just deadly. So we're back with Glenda Sutardi, and we're just going to finish off with you, and just, I guess, in regards to your work, you know, we just wish you well, and knowing that your work is obviously mesmerising, and
You've
I guess,
captivated.
Where can people see some of your work? What can they do? Is there a link they can jump on?
You can go onto Wix and you can look up Glenda Sutardi. You can also just Google me.
Yeah, that's right. When I put Glenda, G-L-E-N-D-A, Sutardi, that's S-U-T-A-R-D-Y, into Google, it comes up with lots and lots of information about all your incredible artwork. And, of course, Glenda's website, I will give it a plug. It's www.glendasutardi.wixsite.com/Stella, I-M-B-E-R. So if you want to check out more of Glenda's incredible artwork, please, please jump onto her website and onto Google, because she's got lots coming up, especially in Japan.
Too deadly. Thank you, Glenda, for your time. And we're going to have to say goodbye as well, guys. So, yeah, signing off.
Signing off. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Take care.
Been listening to Urban Dreaming with your hosts Sue Rummy and Miss Elanius, a show that aims to bridge the gap and close the divide. You can stay up to date by adding us on your Facebook and download the podcast from joy.org.au. Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
A free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.